Episode number 6 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast is brought to you by John Sterling's new home run call for Gleyber Torres. Like a good Gleyber Torres is there, my man!
Welcome to the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Here's radio host and lifelong Yankees fan, Ralphie Aversa.
And here we go, episode number 6, coming up on 2 months of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast, a weekly Yankees fans podcast. We cover things that really happen outside of the baseball field, but things certainly that Yankees fans like you and I care about. My name is Ralphie Aversa, lifelong Yankees fan radio show host. You can find me at Ralphie Aversa on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and of course you can find us at Pinstripe Lanes, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, PinstripeLanesPodcast.com, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify. Big thank you if you have subscribed, rated, and reviewed. We got a great episode for you this week. Some more tips, some more tricks. That's how we do. Try to share some knowledge with you. My best friend joining me, I guess, as a birthday gift for me, because we're releasing this on my birthday, June 6th. I am using it. I'm using my birthday basically to guilt all of my friends into listening to this podcast because I am shameless. And I think it's a kind of a smart maneuver. You know, it's better than these people. They just post, oh, it's my birthday, thank you. The best is the people that post, thank you for all the birthday wishes, even though they haven't got that many birthday wishes, just because they want people to know it's their birthday so they get more birthday wishes. So I figure, you know what, I'm going to have a purpose behind mine, and we're going to spread the good word here of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Celebrating my birthday with my best friend Anthony, who's going to join me on the show here, Anthony Restaino from Niagara Falls. We're going to celebrate this Saturday another one of my best friends from Scranton. D-Dub's Danny Waters, Dan Taylor, is going to be joining us. We're going to do the Belmont Stakes on Saturday during the day. As soon as the race is over, hop in an Uber, go over to Citi Field, catch a little Saturday night baseball with the Yankees and the Metropolitans out in Citi Field. So we'll give you our thoughts on Citi Field compared to Yankee Stadium, how both ballparks have evolved, what we're going to be doing exactly at Citi Field from a food standpoint. You might definitely want to check that out if you ever plan on visiting Citi Field. We're also again, like I said, we're talking a lot of merch this episode, specifically the new Stars and Stripes apparel line that was released for the 4th of July. This is all of the on-field 4th of July apparel that the Yankees and other MLB teams will be wearing. Where can you get it? What do we think of it? We'll break that down for you. Also, how you can get this merch, maybe not so much the Stars and Stripes merch, but how you can get a lot of Yankees merch far cheaper than retail. Far cheaper than the stadium, far cheaper than the clubhouse store. Again, the tips, the tricks that you want to know as a Yankees fan, we're going to give that to you as well. We will break that down all coming up here in episode 6 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. And welcome back to episode number 6 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast, pinstripelanespodcast.com, and of course at Pinstripe Lanes, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. My name is Ralphie Aversa, and as we mentioned earlier, our guest this week, my best friend, a fellow lifelong Yankees fan, and a fellow aficionado, really, when it comes to a lot of the stuff that we talk about here on the podcast. These are conversations that he and I have a lot of times just when we're catching up during the week, and so we bring that to you right now. If you're a longtime listener, by the way, of my radio show, this is going back years and years and years, you may remember him under the Cousin Tony moniker. He is, in fact, my cousin, and he is, in fact, Tony, Anthony Restaino. Anthony, as we're taping this right now, of course, the Yankees with no days off and all these doubleheaders, because we've just had the worst weather ever in Toronto for a couple games before they head my way and before Anthony and I head to go see them this weekend. We will talk about that in just a second. Let's get to something else first, though, that just
First and foremost, Ralph,
yes,
I need to say happy birthday, buddy.
Ah, thank you very much. I appreciate that, Anthony. Yes, of course. the big 3-3, Greg Bird's number. Hopefully I have a little better health than he does for year number 33. Nonetheless, yeah.
Nick Swisher's number.
Who was our fun fact, and I really love it that the Yankees did this past week. We had the MLB draft, and he was the Yankees representative. Did you see that?
I did. I was happy to see that. I love Swish. One of my favorites in recent years.
He was a fan favorite, obviously a World Series champ with the team in 09. Was credited him and Damon and a lot of those guys with kind of changing the culture in the clubhouse for the better that kind of led to that magical season in 2009. But I really loved that whole thing because when Swisher signed with the Indians, the draft pick that the Yankees got in return ended up being number 99, Aaron Judge. So something else that broke this week from a merchandising standpoint, MLB releasing its Stars and Stripes gear. Now, this is the gear that pretty much every team that plays on the 4th of July will wear on the 4th of July. And then as you saw with Memorial Day and you see with some of these other holidays, depending on when and where the games are, the teams may wear them for the entire weekend as well, trying to get as much length as they can out of them. Now, we've gone through this again with Memorial Day. We've gone through this with Jackie Robinson Day, which the Yankees just wore this past week because their Jackie Robinson Day was rained out. We went through this with Mother's Day. And then, of course, we still have coming up the Father's Day gear. Stars and Stripes gear came out. Anthony, you actually texted me right when Fanatics sent out the email blast. What was your initial impressions of the gear that was released that the Yanks will be wearing on the 4th of July?
Initially, I always look for the hat. I want to see what the hat looks like. And when I opened up the email and went to the Fanatics page and was scrolling, I saw the different color caps, navy and red. And I'm thinking, oh no, I hope all the AL ones aren't in red because if it's a red Yankees hat, I'm not buying it.
Right.
And I'm scrolling down and I see it's a navy hat with the NY outlined in gold with the stars and stripes in it. And I loved it. I loved the AL East patch on the side. I thought the MLB logo on the back of the hat with the stars and stripes and that also looked really cool. And then the inside of the hat, the design on the inside, I think it was very nicely produced.
I agree. Nicely produced indeed. You know, the stars and stripes on the NY, the interlocking NY on the front, I could have done without it. I mean, I get it. I really love it. I don't know if they looked at sales numbers because that AL East patch, they normally put on the 950 snapbacks, New Era does. And I don't know if they were looking at sales numbers and saw that those hats sell maybe more than some of the other snapbacks, but I love that look. The underbill is cool as well. That's, again, something that we've seen in more of the fashion, trendy New Era releases, nothing as far as the on-field, but overall, especially as far as the hat. And now, Anthony, and we've covered this before, I actually covered this with my buddy Mike, if you buy one, you're going to go low profile, obviously, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm a big fan of the low profile. I think I got my first one probably 6 years ago, Ralph. It's a nice fit on me. It kind of, you know, you have the fitted hat look, but for me, it looks worn in, kind of how I like the hats. How I've always liked my Yankees hat. So, you know, once they started making the low profile, I was a big fan of that. If I do buy the Stars and Stripe version, I will be getting the low profile. They do have it available.
Yeah, they pretty much every model New Era hat they have available in the Stars and Stripes. It's one of it might actually even be the low profile, might be one of the top sellers right now on Fanatics site.
Here's the thing with the Yankees hat, Ralph, and I know you've talked about it before, and I guess for me, you know, I like hats in general. So I see a new Yankees hat come out. I may buy it, you know, if it's a commemorative hat for, you know, retiring a player's number on a Mariano Rivera day, you know, I'm buying that hat. But for the Yankees hat that I wear, I always prefer the traditional New York Yankees hat. And it's weird because I may buy a hat for other teams and other sports where I don't necessarily care if it has different designs or has a different color than what the team's primary colors are. But there's something about the New York Yankees. I just feel like if you're a Yankees fan, when you're wearing your Yankees hat, you want to wear the traditional navy hat with the white NY.
I think that's one of the reasons why we enjoy the Yankees tradition. I mean, the same could be said for, you know, I know you and I, neither of us would wear a jersey with a name on the back of it.
Oh, absolutely not. No. And that's right. When you're invested in this team and you've grown up, I mean, at least for me as a little kid. I mean, my family, all big Yankees fans, from my grandfather's all the way, you know, to my dad, my uncles and me. I mean, we're all Yankees fans. So, you know, there was a time, it's funny, my dad laughs. He goes, you know, when I was, he doesn't say this anymore, but when I was probably in high school, just starting college, he goes, you know, when I was your age, it was like hunting for gold to find sports apparel. You know, so if you happen to get your hands on a Yankees jacket, it was the traditional blue and what blue jacket with the white interlocking NY, and that was it.
It's funny how it's gone from that to now. Like I got not a Twitter fight at Pinstripe Lanes on Twitter, but I was going back and forth with a sports talk show host, I believe, who's out on Long Island, because I've seen, you know, and you know, Aaron Boone is having a good season as his rookie manager, when the main complaint from some Yankees fans is that he doesn't wear his full uniform when he's managing a game. And part of that is because now they have so much more than just the traditional blue jacket like your dad talked about with the white interlocking NY. Majestic comes out with this entire line of on-field apparel, and they use Boone and all these other managers to model it during the game so that they can sell more of it. And, you know, obviously Majestic, which is owned by Fanatics, the official retailer of MLB, and it, you know, runs all of the team sites as well in the team stores. And by the way, it has done not one, but two 20% off sales this week. So if you're not signed up for the MLB shop and the Fanatics email blast, definitely want to sign up for both of those email blasts, because they do offer different sales at different times. Again, just this week alone, Fanatics did a 20% off that lasted for one day. Then MLBshop.com did a 20% off that lasted a different day, and it's off the entire store. There are some exclusions. There's, of course, a few other sites out there as well. I know Lids sometimes will do big sales. I've ordered from there. There's also Fans Edge. Anth, have you ever ordered from there or no?
You know what, Ralph? Actually, I have, and I can't remember how I stumbled on the website, but it almost looks like it's somehow affiliated with Fanatics. It's hard to explain. You can definitely check it out if you haven't been there. But what I noticed with them is they too offer different sales than Fanatics may be offering at a certain time. So, you know, Fanatics, just actually a couple weeks ago, I ordered some stuff. Fanatics had free shipping, and this Fans Edge actually had 25% off your order. So that ended up working out for me. The same stuff I was looking at the Fanatics website, I just got off of Fans Edge. And you know, sometimes I notice too with memorabilia, maybe a few dollars cheaper on Fans Edge, but it's interesting. It seems like it's just like an offshoot of Fanatics. I mean, it's all, I don't know how to explain it, but I definitely check both websites now when I go to look for, you know, my Yankees gear or what have you.
Yeah. So really, I mean, right off the bat, you got three different sites, and I think the most that like a Fans Edge or a Fanatics or an MLBshop.com will do total is 30%. Then that's not including when they go clearance on items, they'll go up to 50-60%, but they all run their separate sales. So just because you get the Fanatics email blast doesn't mean you're going to know about the Fans Edge sale, doesn't mean you're going to know about the MLBshop.com sale. Bottom line, there's a lot of sales going on, and you don't have to pay full price or stadium price or clubhouse shop price to get your Yankees gear. Alright, we'll take a quick break here on the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. When we come back, my best friend joining me, I think he's kind of, this is my birthday gift, basically. I was able to get him on for my birthday week, Anthony Restaino. We're going to be celebrating my birthday at Citi Field. We will talk about our trek to root against the Metropolitans and for your New York Yankees next here on the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Hang on. And welcome back to episode number 6 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. Of course, iTunes, Google Play, PinstripeLanesPodcast.com, and at Pinstripe Lanes on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I'm Ralphie Aversa. My best friend from back in Niagara Falls, New York, fellow lifelong Yankees fan, Anthony Restaino, joins me this week ahead of his trek to the city, where we will be celebrating my birthday this weekend. Saturday, big day planned. Our buddy Danny is going to be coming in from Scranton as well. We are doing the Belmont Stakes during the day. I'm a first timer for the Belmont Stakes, so hopefully I'll get to see a Triple Crown winner. And then right after that race is over, we hop in an Uber, head on over to Flushing, and we check out the Yankees and Mets in Citi Field. It's a 7:15 first pitch. I believe it's a Fox Saturday night game again for the Yanks and the Metropolitans, and an away trip, if you will. Get to see a visiting ballpark, even though it's in the New York area. Now, I've been to both Citi Field and Yankee Stadium. Anthony, you've been to both as well. I don't think I've talked about this in the podcast yet, but I talk about this with a lot of people, and I don't know if they believe me. So let's hear it from you. What were your initial impressions of Citi Field compared to your initial impressions of Yankee Stadium, considering, of course, both opened in 09?
Well, you know what, Ralph? I was there in 09 for the first game at the new stadium. Mm-hmm. And there was a bunch of us from Niagara Falls that came down for that, you know, for opening day at the new stadium. And we ended up catching a game at Citi Field. My initial reactions kind of skewed, Ralph, and I'll tell you why. The new Yankee Stadium, I mean, what else can you say about it? I mean, it's a amazing structure. It has all the amenities that you could ask for. The room in the stadium when you're walking down the corridors is just, you know, fantastic. You're not you're not, you know, squished and trying to squeeze your way through people to get to an aisle or to get to a concession stand or what have you.
That's a good point.
The problem, though, for me is that it just didn't have the same feel as the old stadium. And I may be biased because I had some great memories at the old Yankee Stadium. It was kind of a special place for me. The new stadium on that trip in 2009, I was a little disappointed in just the experience. When we went to Citi Field, again, I thought it was a nice ballpark. I had been to Shea Stadium, definitely an upgrade over Shea. And a Mets fan may feel the same way about Citi Field that I feel about the new Yankee Stadium. But when I went to Citi Field in 09, I really enjoyed the atmosphere. I liked it there. Every time I've been to Citi Field after that, I've had a good time as well, including when we were there a couple years ago, and I'm very much looking forward to going on Saturday.
Yeah, Anthony and I went a couple years ago. He was in town. Actually, as the story goes, this is a pro move from Anthony. This is a classic tip. So Anthony's now wife, Vincenza, was coming to the city to go to Kleinfeld's to look for a dress for the wedding. And so what does Anthony do? Well, he's got his best friend in the city, so of course he tags along as the supporting man that he is. So then he and I get a little boys' weekend out of it. We find his tux. Thank you to my friends at John Varvatos. Appreciate you. And then Anthony and I head out to Citi Field, where we cheer on Go Cubs Go, the Chicago Cubs, taking on the New York Metropolitans. Sadly for us, Jake Arrieta got bombed that game. I mean, I don't know what was going on there.
He got humbled that game.
He got humbled bad. I think that we might have witnessed the beginning of the end in a Cubbies uniform for Mr. Arrieta. But nonetheless, as you said, a great time at Citi Field. Look, the one thing, and you know, we won't be able to experience it on this trip, but we'll experience it on future trips. And this is something that's happened with Yankee Stadium over this past season and a half. The addition of the pinstripe pass and the standing room only areas in center field, the demolition, of course, of those obstructive view bleacher seats, really has done a lot for the vibe of the stadium. Not to mention, I mean, back in 09, people forget there was a freaking art gallery behind home plate. They've since thankfully got rid of that as well. And with all of the young talent that the team has, that certainly has kind of re-energized the fan base as well, and has gotten into the ballpark a younger fan base, as opposed to maybe some of the more corporate types. Not that there's anything wrong with them, but some of the more corporate types that I think the stadium was initially built for. And I can certainly say, too, as somebody who this season has been thankful enough to cross the moat twice and sit Legends once, thank you, St. Jude's, and sit Champions again, thank you, Scalpers. Even there, you know, you're seeing, I think, a younger fan base, a more energized fan base, and the stadium certainly is overall louder. I will say, and I don't know, Anth, how you felt about this, a lot of people wanted to say last year during the playoffs that, oh, it felt like the old stadium. It felt like the old stadium. I don't know if this new stadium can ever get to that, right?
Well, Ralph, you know what? And I was going to say, too, and now I, for any of your younger listeners, that the first player was drafted in the MLB born in the year 2000. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, you know what? That kid's 18 years old. So for your younger listeners who haven't been to the old stadium, you know, in a big game, in a big moment, if you were ever sitting in the upper deck, and for those listeners that have been there for big games, big moments, sitting in the upper deck, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. There was a feeling that the whole stadium was shaking beneath you. I mean, it was incredible. Can the new stadium ever get to that? I have to admit, I haven't been there all that much in recent years. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to make as many trips as I'd like. But I was there for Jeter's last game at Yankee Stadium when he got that last hit there to win the game. That was a moment where I was like, you know what? This does feel a little bit like the old place, just a little bit. Now, mind you, I was there in 09 for the playoffs as well. And I didn't have that same, you know, having been to multiple playoff games and even a World Series game, which we could talk about that for another whole episode, that whole experience against the Marlins. My only World Series game ever. They lose, and it's a deciding game. But again, I'm not going to go down that road. But, you know, even when I was there in 09 for the playoffs, it just didn't feel quite the same. But Jeter's last game, that was amazing. That was something special.
Yeah, and again, you know, I was there for Bird's home run off of Miller. Place got loud, no question. Raucous, absolutely. And rowdy. Did it shake like the old stadium? I don't think I'd go that far, but it felt good, and it's good to see things moving in the right direction as far as Yankee Stadium goes. But again, the Yanks are in Citi Field this weekend against the Mets. Anthony and I, by the way, I made reservations for us. Anthony hasn't been there yet at the Porsche Grill. So if you're wondering, almost any ticket holder except standing room only tickets can just walk into the Porsche Grill. If you have a standing room ticket like Anthony and I do, because I bought them, you have to make a reservation ahead of time. The latest they do reservations is 7:30. $35 a head. They have celebrity chefs. They have all different stations. It's all you can eat. And what I like about Porsche Grill compared to, say, Audi Club at Yankee Stadium, it's in left field like Audi Club, but it has much better and broader views of the actual playing field. So you can sit down almost anywhere, enjoy a great meal, air conditioning, full bar, and enjoy the game as well. And hopefully we'll have a good game to enjoy this Saturday night over in Flushing. Also, obviously, if you're headed out to Citi Field, I mean, look, they have a lot of great food options. There's Pat LaFrieda. There's Two Boots. There's a Shake Shack, obviously. That's almost kind of infamous thanks to Mike Francesa trying to break down. Look for that YouTube clip when you get a second. Him trying to break down what makes a Shake Shack burger a Shake Shack burger. Mr. Francesa did his best for that. But, Anthony, have you ever had Shake Shack before?
I have not, Ralph, so maybe I'll do it this weekend.
The Sports Pope was impressed. We'll see if it also impresses Anthony. So that's out there as well. A lot of great food options all throughout Citi Field, and it's a good ballpark, easy to get to, of course, with the 7 and LIRR, which runs out there on a schedule too. So we'll be looking forward to it this weekend. Anthony Restaino, our guest this week on the Pinstripe Plains podcast, buddy. Can't thank you enough for giving us some time and sharing a few memories. We'll have you back on again, and safe travels. I'll see you this weekend, okay?
Hey, cuz, sounds good. I'm looking forward to it. Happy birthday, and I'll see you in a few days. I love the podcast. Keep it up, buddy.
All right, so as we wrap up episode number 6 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast, the Yankees have already taken one game in Toronto. If you're going to Toronto, grab a hot dog outside. You can buy poutine inside. And obviously, there's a lot of other little quirks regarding the sterile environment that is Rogers Center, including the fact that I believe there's still also a Hard Rock in there. And that was really one of my big gripes when they put a Hard Rock in Yankee Stadium. I'm like, wait, there's a Hard Rock in Rogers Center. We can't also have one in Yankee Stadium. Like, come on now. But I get why you put a Hard Rock in there. It's tourist friendly. It's family friendly. It travels well. Well, and there are some cool co-branded Hard Rock Yankee Stadium Yankees merch as well. So we will give them a tip of the cap there, but the Yankees playing on my birthday. Traditionally, actually, fun fact, I did one time, I remember when I was living in Pennsylvania, my then girlfriend asked me, now an ex, of course, asked me what I wanted to do for my birthday. I said, well, the Yankees are in Toronto. We're not going to go up to Toronto, so let's go into New York. We'll spend a day in New York, and we'll go to the Hard Rock at Yankee Stadium and watch them play the Blue Jays. We did, and the Yankees, I remember, won that game. Traditionally, the Yankees win on my birthday, or if I go to a game around my birthday to celebrate my birthday. So definitely expecting the Yankees to win tomorrow and complete the little two-game sweep, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Citi Field. So hopefully the Yankees will win on my birthday. And then when I celebrate my birthday at Citi Field this weekend, hopefully they'll pick up another W there. It looks like the Mets pitching is going to line up pretty well. So we're going to see DeGrom Mats and Syndergaard on that Friday, Saturday, Sunday against the Yanks. Saturday, we get Mats, thankfully. I know he's been pitching a little better as of late, but you know, I'm sure the Yankees' bats will solve that. And Todd Frazier back in the lineup, too. So we'll see another familiar face out in Flushing, New York, as we get ready to cheer on the Yankees in the friendly confines of Citi Field. All right. Again, that's a wrap on episode 6 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast. I think next week we're going to have a company on that repurposes your old Yankee shirts and turns them into blankets. It sounds kind of odd, but if you've seen photos of people that have gotten this done, it's really freaking cool. And I believe we're going to have them on the podcast next week. We know a couple people, including Anthony, actually, I believe, who has gone through this company to do that. So we will hopefully have them on the show next week. Anything you want to hear, any questions, going to the stadium, you need any other tips that we haven't covered in a previous episode, hit me up, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Pinstripe Lanes, and of course, pinstripelanespodcast.com. You can find us iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and please rate, review, subscribe. Thank you for that. This has been episode 6 of the Pinstripe Lanes podcast.